When we say sharing the vision of a church, it's just seeing where we're going and talking about where we feel like the Lord has told us to go. And when we have a time every 6 months around here where we share a bit of direction, a bit of vision, where we're going, why we're doing what we're doing. And so it's not that we're changing the whole mission and vision of Highland. The mission is the same. Mission and vision is the same. Changing life as we know it through the love, loyalty, and friendship of Jesus Christ. But the thing is that there are moments where we seek and focus. There are moments when we find points along the way, and or like a pilot who has a course set, some coordinates that they're going to, they make course adjustments so that they stay on track. And in that sense, what we're trying to do is stay the course. Stay the course of where we're going. And I know that this morning it's pretty chilly out. And in this place, we got the radiant heat coming down from several points. And if you're sitting right under it, sometimes you get toasted. And when you're not sitting under it, you kind of get chilly. And then, of course, right here, this one isn't working. So if you're sitting in this section, sorry today, you're just going to be uncomfortable. And the thing is, though, that in sharing and talking about vision and where our church is going and what we hope for, there is some uncomfortableness. And I hope that there's some uncomfortableness. Because there's always a tension between what we see or what could be and the tension of where we are now and the way things are in the present. There is a difference. And there's a struggle of wanting to be where things could be and should be. And you feel that tension. And it should cause something in you to happen. And today, I want to talk to you about that. And I want to talk to you about a little bit of where we're going to focus. And a milestone, a benchmark, where we're heading to. And living in this tension, I want you to know that myself and others in this church, we really want to work towards the reality, this vision becoming reality. And because we believe that this vision and mission of Highland is in line with what the Lord desires. In Galatians 4:19, he says that he desires for us to be changed into the image of his Son, changing life as we know it for the love, loyalty, and friendship of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4, he desires all men, women, and children to be changed from a state of being lost to a state of being saved. Those two words aren't words that evangelicals made up. They are biblical words that the Bible uses to describe people. And God wants it to change. It's God's will not only to change people, but to change how we interact among one another, to change the spheres of life that we actually operate in. He wants to reconcile all things through his blood at the cross. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want to change life as we know it. His kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if you look around, there's still some work to do. And it's not that I think that we can have heaven here on earth, but I don't think we deserve hell on earth either. And there can be a lot of change. I know that our God desires. And I don't think it's happened in its fullness yet. There is still work to be done. And myself and others want to be a part of that work. And I want to invite you to be a part of that work and part of that niche in God's great mission in the world that's occurring right here in Asheville. I want to invite you to be a part of it. And there are some milestones and benchmarks that have already been laid down for the course of this church's growth. And I want to share some of those with you and again say what we're focusing upon. Now, I know some of you who have come here have sensed that there is something special happening here at Highland among the people of this church. And it's kind of like a fire that you want to draw near to and warm yourself with. But what I hope and pray is that you recognize And you just won't sit and enjoy the fringe benefits of what's happening here, but that you're actually come in contact with this holy fire that's occurring here. That you'll actually come in contact with this flame and that you'll become ignited. That the flame of the Lord is burning within you. That it's not something on the outside that you just kind of warm yourself with, but it's actually something within you that generates within you. I want you to know that you're not just attracted here to just a rumbling in your chest and good sounds from a powerful sound system or the attractiveness of this venue called the Orange Peel. There's something more powerful going on here than electricity running sound and lights. There is a force among us that can cause life to change as we know it. It is the love of Christ. It is the love of Christ. You know, there's a chapter in the New Testament that's very special to me that really influenced me, had a part influencing me in starting this church here. And in this chapter in the New Testament, there's a prayer that's been prayed a long time ago, and it was prayed for a church that existed a long time ago, a church that's very similar to this church here. And it's a prayer that I've been praying for you. And this is the prayer, that you will have power together with all the saints, because you're going to have power to grasp what I'm going to share with you, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. It takes power to grasp it and to know this love, this great, high, deep, wide love that surpasses knowledge, this love that surpasses the information age, so that you might experience the fullness of God in your life. You see, you can't Google about this love to experience it. It takes the power of the Lord to experience this love. And the power of the Lord expressed through love is being poured out through the saints together. Together. And that's what's going on here among this group of people called Highland. And we got to open up the lid on this thing and start pouring it around all over Asheville. That's what's got to happen. There's three major ways that I think that we're to focus on in this outpouring of love. I believe it's through the passing the baton of leadership and faith. It's by building community to reach community. And by practicing belong before you believe. All three of these things we have to do together. And that is the new overarching theme for 2010. Together. You know, together we need to pass the baton of faith and leadership so that we and others can continue experiencing this love that surpasses knowledge. When we think of the next generation, we must know that time is short. Time is short. This is the whole so what part. I'm telling you, we've got to pass the baton of faith and leadership. And you say, so what? So what, Shannon? So why is that important? Because time is short. Do you understand that for all times and all places, when organizations, societies, and nations don't value children and youth, things go terribly wrong in society? We can pour out power-changing love all over, but if we miss pouring it out on the young, especially right here among us, and even within our homes and our families, then we've lost the battle. You see, you change youth, you can change the world. Change youth, change the world. The foundation of child's character is formed as early as age 6. I'll say it again. The foundation of a child's character is formed as early as age 6. For parents here, you have about 18 years of being with your child and impressing upon them this great love that's high and deep and wide and long. And in that 18 years, you only have about 12 years where you're actually playing on the court with your kids. After about 12 years old, somewhere after that, You're the coach. You're on the sidelines. You can't go in the game with your kid any longer. You can still call timeouts and bring them over and have coaching moments with your kids. But things shift as a parent, as children. Time is short. But you're just as needed during that time of life when you're a coach. But your kid is on the court of life and they're making decisions on their own that can possibly affect the rest of their lives. You know it. You made decisions that either scarred you or built you up and strengthened you for the rest of your life. What are you doing? And what are we doing to invest in young people right now? We have got to make the most of our time now to pass the baton of faith and leadership to the next generation. I know that at Highland, it's harder. It's harder with small children and keeping them here with us in this large gathering. But we've got to keep our eyes on the big picture. We are preparing the next generations for living in this world as overcomers and agents of the kingdom of light. Not just to exist or survive in the world, but to overcome the world, to shine in this dark world. And in this dark world, we want to hold up the light before our young people right now, not later. And that's why this year we're introducing this Champion and Highborn, names that are just simple tools, they're acronyms, that provide a point of informal mentoring with kids and peers. All of us have been mentored informally by parents, relatives, maybe a boss or a worker that we respected at some point in our lives. We've all been informally mentored. What I'm saying in this informal thing, this informal tool that we're giving you, is just have just a little more intentionality. Think of this. It's as simple. With Champion, courage, honor, attitude, mental toughness, purity, integrity, ownership, navigation. These qualities, things of a Christ follower, someone who's trying to follow the Jesus road, things that we want to put before them. You see, when you see a kid making a good choice in one of these areas, courage, honor, attitude, mental toughness, purity, whatever, I don't care if the kid is yours or not. You need to encourage that kid. You need to say something like, hey, I saw you helping out when I know that you didn't want to help out, but I saw you push through it and you did it anyway. And I just want to say, way to go, kid. Way to go. That's what this little tool is for. Seeing those moments when kids grab onto it and encouraging it, expressing it to them. It's also a point of prayer with young people that are in your life. Here's one of the prayers I'm starting to pray from Champion, thinking of ownership and navigation. And I'm praying, Lord, we got some kids that are about to get some cars now. And I pray that you will help them with decisions about ownership and help them with navigating priorities with jobs and family and their time with you and with the saints. And as I'm praying that prayer, you know what the Lord is reminding me? Saying, Shannon, how are you doing modeling that? The ownership of your possessions, the stewardship of those things. How are you navigating your priorities, time with your family, with me? It comes back at me. It comes back at me. And that's what happens in this whole mentoring thing. It's, again, Champion and Highborn are tools for talking points when you sit down with your own kid or with someone you're mentoring. Take the C, courage. Hey, you know what? I know it takes courage, but tell me, have you taken any steps to push out of your comfort zone recently? Have you taken any steps like that? See, in passing the baton of faith and leadership, we're also beginning this month training for formal mentoring. We want to train people to help others with identifying the next step in their spiritual journey and how to aid others in taking those steps. That's all it is. Mentoring is helping someone else. We're going to be introducing a way for people to help form their own growth plan from wherever they're at spiritually. We got people at all different stages in life. We're not comparing ourselves to each other. We're looking at Jesus Christ and we're saying, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. And we want each person, wherever at they're at on that Jesus road, to be able to start growing, to take one step in that direction towards Christ. So in this next quarter, between January and March, we're going to be introducing a way that can help each individual in this church form a growth plan, how to take that step towards Christ. Now, whether it's formal or informal mentoring, we need to pass the baton of faith and leadership together. And we're seeing this starting to happen more beyond the Highland community and spilling out into Asheville through Elevate Life and Art. And I want to tell you the significance of this. We have some gifted artists and leaders that are doing more than just passing on a skill, how to paint, how to sew, how to do photography. But they're impressing upon others a life surrendered to Christ and bearing what it's like, that fruit that's born in their lives. That's what's being impressed upon people. So please pray for these people that not just a skill is passed on, but the love that surpasses knowledge is passed on as they spend time many times with young people, but also with adults and peers their own age. Many of you know that a lot of this is happening at a certain location here in downtown Asheville at 34 South Lexington, which we used to call the Prayer Gallery. But I think now we can safely call 34 South Lexington the Community Center, and the Prayer Gallery just happens to be in the Community Center. I'm telling you, what's happening is that this vision or this dream of the Community Center is happening, is being practiced, is being done. No, it's not the grand vision of a community center that we just happen to meet in on Sunday morning. It's not that yet, but it is a step in the right direction. There are people representing 5 different churches using the space. There's a citywide youth gathering called Collision that's been using it and wants to continue to use the space. Elevate is going to be holding courses Monday through Friday in its next session, January and February. Please pray for the development of this community center and this space that has been generously given to us for very little by an organization called PIP, Public Interest Projects. And I'd like you to pray for that name of that organization. Right now, that space on 34 South Lexington is in flux. It's a critical time for us. The owners can't allow us to continue using that space for the current price that we're paying for. You know what we're paying for? I'll go ahead and tell you. $150 a month. Most space that size in downtown Asheville is $2,000 or more. But they're at a critical point where they can't allow us to use it for that little anymore. And we can't afford the full market price. And so we've asked and we said, well, can we do something in the middle? And one of the owners with PIP said, I think something in the middle could work. But one of the things that we're asking is could there be a 1 or 2 year lease? Right now, it's just a word of mouth agreement. We just use that space from month to month, and it's been going on for 2.5 years now. We've been using it. But we need your prayers right now because there's something holding up a decision being made. And so I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer about this space. We've been using it more and more and more. And what I'd like to do is like us to pray together this coming Friday. And if you could join me anytime, come down to the community center, 34 South Lexington, from anywhere on Friday to Saturday, from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m., 24 hours of prayer. If you could just come for 30 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever, come down and join me there in that space. I'm not doing anything to organize it. I'm just saying I'm putting the invitation out and come and join me there. And I believe that if we bring this to God, that we're going to see something pushed through. We're going to see an answer one way or another for this critical space that allows us to pass the baton of faith and leadership and engage with our community. And maybe you're not an artist or a teacher with Elevate, but you can join us in prayer and how this space relates to Highland's mission and vision. You know, the spiritual formation of hearts is best done together with the saints. And it's difficult to go it alone. And together we have greater opportunity to experience this love that surpasses knowledges and changes lives. Now, the second area that I believe that we need to focus on this year together is that we can experience this love that surpasses knowledge by building community to reach a community. Building community to reach a community. We have three avenues for this at Highland: seven streams, gel groups, and teams. Seven streams is what we call our creative arts ministry, with six areas. There's band, visual arts, there's drama, there's dance, there's video, there's choir. And the seventh stream that binds it all together is the Spirit of Christ. And all those seven streams might be what you associate more with communicating the message of Christ with relevance. Really what's happening is people working together with a purpose, with a mission, and there's a friendship that's coming together. It's friendship that's connected to mission. It's building community to reach community. And we are continually looking to bring more artistic and creative people together so that they can find community with a purpose. And so I invite you, if you're one of those creative people, get up, be a part of Seven Streams. Find out. You talk to Sherry. She's our director of all the creative arts. Talk to one of the people that are involved in some of these things and creating things that you're seeing up front. Get involved. Our gel groups is another avenue that you can be a part of community, building community to reach community. It's the DNA of that value is built into our gel groups. Anyone can be a part of a gel group where people are trying to figure out how we practice following Jesus in the 21st century. We're not meant to be alone. We're not meant to grow alone or walk the Christian life alone. Gel groups are where you can practice the one another commands of Christ. It's where questions can be asked, discussion can happen, prayer and encouragement is given, and people can find friendship. Every gel group has an open chair, meaning gel groups are always ready to welcome someone who hasn't been there before. Gel groups are mixed with people in different places in their spiritual journey. Some are just starting to explore if the Jesus road is for them. Others have been just new at this whole thing of following Christ. And some have walked with Jesus for a long time. Gel groups are not defined by age, and we pray that our groups will continue to have a variety that represents the full community of Christ and represents the richness of the family of Christ. And I want to tell you, if you're only attending Sunday morning, you're only experiencing a third. You're only experiencing a third of what Highland and the body of Christ is like. I just want you to experience more. I want you to experience more. Join a gel group and you have a chance to experience more fully the love that surpasses knowledge. Now, one of the third avenues for building community is our teams. We have four teams that are made up of gel groups that have joined together to take one step in serving, one step in praying, one step in giving. And around 220 people in this church are a part of a team that owns one Sunday a month from set up to pack up at the Orange Peel. And it's one step to begin serving the body once a month. Our teams are also being challenged to take one step in prayer and to go together with someone to the prayer gallery in the community center once a month to pray for an hour. And gel leaders, I want you to remember, take your gel group down to the gallery this month. Instead of meeting wherever you usually meet, take them down sometime this month. Out of our four teams, they're also being challenged to take one step in giving. You heard Sherry mention it earlier. $10 to missions, $10 a month to Highland. A total of $20 more a month than what they've given in the past. Whether if what they've given in the past is zero a month, or whether they've been giving $500 a month, it's one step to give more. And we're encouraging those who are taking this step to write a separate check or an online donation with a note in the memo saying Love Team Mission or Truth Team Mission or Life Team Mission or Light Team Mission. The Truth Team Missions is going to our missionaries in India. Love Team Missions is going to those in China, the Gatlins, who some of you have met. The Light Team Missions are going to Niger, in East Southeast Niger. The Life Team Missions are going to Asheville. That's one step with the teams. One step in prayer, one step in giving, one step in serving. Can I just take one little hint at the second step? There is a second step. Second step, I'll just give you one little bit. Second step in serving with our teams. It's going beyond serving the body, serving each other, but serving outside of Highland. And what I like to say is that this one little bitty second step is to encourage you to serve once every 4 months. Once every 4 months with your team together. There are several organizations that we've already that in Asheville that need manpower. They just need volunteers. And we've already been serving and helping with them some in the past. We'd love to continue our relationship with them and continue to be there to resonate the love and the power and presence of Christ in those places. And so you've heard some of the Manna Food Bank, I Have a Dream Foundation, Women and Children's Shelter, Hope House, Asheville Greenworks. And we want to continue doing that. So you don't have to be a part of a gel to be on a team. In fact, being on a team is a good way to get to know some people before you go to a gel group. And here's something important about the teams. Most of us are never going to find the fullness of what God has for us to experience until we stop trying to live an armchair faith and get off our butts. So many times I've heard people looking for something deeper spiritually. And when I ask them some questions, I find that their spirituality is just an intellectual endeavor. It never moves past their thought life into action. The Bible says that real faith is not just belief. That real faith is belief plus action. And I'm inviting you to join us in building community to reach a community. And I believe you have a chance to experience love that surpasses knowledge, whether that experience is receiving it or giving it away for the first time. Find out how you can be a part of a gel group. Find out how you can be a part of one of these new teams. Last of all, I believe this year is we have a need to focus together on practicing belong before you believe. This is the idea that the church is all access. Anyone can come and observe. Anyone can come and participate. And that we don't demand belief of people. We trust that God in time will work belief in people's hearts. Do you trust God? Do you trust that He can do that? Do you trust that by your prayers, by your love, that without even saying a word, that God can work belief in someone's heart? Do you trust that the Word of God, when it's heard and spoken and people listen to it, that the Word of God alone can change people's hearts? Do you believe that? Do you trust that someone can come to faith without you twisting their arm or pushing or pressing them or hounding them? I do. I believe the Holy Spirit works in great ways and does work that no human can ever do inside people's hearts. One of the heroes of the faith, St. Patrick, practiced this by going to the busiest crossroads of Irish villages with a community of believers. And he began to practice the Christian life there in the middle of these Irish villagers. And he would invite others into their work and into their service to the community, just as he also invited them into their worship. And in time, the villagers came to know who Patrick loved, who Patrick served, and who Patrick worshiped. And they found that after time and after conversation, that they wanted to love and serve and worship Jesus too. You see, the biblical model for this is in one of Jesus' parables, where a king sends out invitations to a wedding feast. And the king sends his servants to invite people to come, and they go out to the street corners, the highways and the byways. And the scripture says that they invited the good and the bad until the wedding hall was filled with guests. And Jesus said that then the king came in to see the guests and noticed a man not wearing wedding clothes. And the man is speechless when the king confronts him, and the king throws him out. Now, who is king in that parable? God. God is. It's not you or me. God is the one who does the accepting and rejecting. He's the one who we seek approval from. Will you and I do all in our power to encourage people to be clothed in Christ? Yes, of course. But our main job is the job of those servants in the parable, to invite as many people into the feast God has prepared. We have a great feast that goes on here with a group of people called Highland. And I think there are moments that we experience foretaste of heaven. And at the end of this month, going into to April, to Easter, we're going to begin sending out the invitations to Asheville, inviting them to experience church at the Orange Peel. I know many times when I go around and talk to people, it's not Highland Christian Church. Oh, you're the church at the Orange Peel. I think it's our second name. But we're going to try to do our best to equip you to be good inviters. We want people to come, taste and see that the Lord is good. But it means that we're going to have to send and go. And when people do come, let's help people belong and not make them feel like outsiders, so that God might have a chance through us together to express his love that surpasses knowledge. Now, I know for some of you, these things that I shared and some of the things about Highland that you've experienced, that you've maybe visited or been checking things out, I know that Highland and the vision of Highland just seems like a whole other culture to you, a whole other culture than what you're used to. And I just want to assure you that you're correct. It is. It's not your native culture of the world, nor is it the culture of American churchianity. It is a third culture that is new and different and somewhat alien to us all, even me, because it's the kingdom of God. It's just like missionaries who leave their own culture to live in another land, and then they have children in that foreign land. And that child growing up with the missionary parents doesn't really belong to the culture that he grows up in, nor does he belong to the culture of his parents' homeland. Instead, he is a third culture, and he is able to relate to people from both places. Being of the kingdom of God is like being that child of third culture. It's never really comfortable. I know that there are parents who have left what is comfortable for them because they know that this church is what their kids need to be able to catch the faith. In a sense, these parents have embraced the idea of third culture. I know in talking with Jazz that sometimes he longs to hear the familiar sounds of the church culture that he grew up in. And this is not what he grew up with. And it's not the culture of the world either, but it's a third culture where we dream and we work together towards a kingdom that is made up of every tongue, every tribe, every nation. Sometimes it's hard to live in this tension of the way things are and the way that they could be. There is even resistance to living this way for the King and his kingdom from our present world, and resistance from our old selves. But just like a living seed planted in the ground grows into a tree that reaches up to the light, resisting gravity, so you and I must continue to stretch and reach for the vision God has for us, resisting the gravity of sin and the world. But I want you to know that we don't have to do it alone. We can do it together. Nate and the guys, I want you to come on up here. We can resonate the power, the presence, and the love of Jesus Christ. This love that surpasses knowledge and can change life as we know it. This year, I'd like us to focus on together how we can pass the baton of faith and leadership, how together we can build community that reaches a community, and together how we can practice belong before you believe. In the next few moments, we're going to celebrate communion together. There's going to be some people around the room holding a goblet with juice, represents Christ's blood, some unleavened bread that represents Christ's body. And this is something that Christ instituted, that he started, he asked of us to do, and we're honoring him by doing it. And he simply said that when you do this, when you take it, remember me. So as a song is played, at any time that your heart is ready, you can get up, take that bread and dip it in the juice, take and eat it. It's a time to rejoice. It may be also a time to mourn, a time where we, in our hearts, confess to to God our sin, but it's, as I said, also a time to rejoice in the new relationship that Christ has created through us through the cross, and to be thankful. Heavenly Father, help us to reach for the vision that you have for us. Help us fulfill your purposes for us. Lord, I know that you desire, and you've communicated in your word, you desire us to be shaped into your image. That you desire us to be one, together. That you desire your kingdom and your will to be done here. Lord, help us to answer that prayer. Shape us and form us. Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the grace and mercy that you've given to us, the forgiveness. Lord, I pray for those here that they would know that your forgiveness is real, and that love and forgiveness is something that this body, that we want to resonate and be and live. In Jesus' name, amen.